Good morning, everybody, and welcome this morning to the Rainbow Center. And we're going to go into the scriptures today. Want to challenge your thinking. We know in Isaiah 54, verse 3, the word of the Lord comes to God's people and says, expand your tent. Solidify those tent pegs. The Spirit of God gave me that word 3+ years ago. And I've heard that word spoken by other prophets around the world at different times. And there's something God is saying. God is saying, expand your tent. And your tent is your mind. Remember this. For a reformation to take place, for a community to change, you have to be willing to expand your belief system. The problem with too many Christians is they just want revival. Just seek after God and you'll have a revival in your life. But listen, revivals don't change the culture. Revival means revive, bring back to life that which is dead. It's talking about Christians. Revival is to bring dead Christians back to life, spiritually speaking. But it's not about changing your community. It's not about changing the environment around you. That is a reformation. And throughout history, reformations cannot take place unless somebody is willing to expand their thinking and go beyond the borders of their belief system. And if you cannot go beyond the borders of your belief system, then you are in the category of a Pharisee. The Pharisees fought against Jesus because they would not allow themselves to think beyond the borders of their present thinking. That is called bondage. And in this day and hour, especially amongst evangelical Christians, this is going to be the greatest challenge. To go beyond the borders of our belief system. Because if we cannot, we cross over into Phariseeism, and we will find ourselves fighting and resisting what God is doing in the land. It's happened before. It can happen again. And in fact, it has all through history. We are to learn from history so we don't make those same mistakes. Today's message is entitled, Choose Your Identity. And as I go through this today, I am going to touch a golden calf today. I'm going to touch a golden calf of our belief system to challenge us to expand it and think beyond. We have limited ourselves. And when you limit yourself in your belief system, you limit the very God in whom you believe. And you bind Him up. God can be bound up? Yes, God can be bound up in your life through what you believe. Choose your identity. Galatians chapter 2. Father, we thank you right now for the spirit of wisdom, revelation, in the knowledge of you. Father, we thank you, the very eyes of our understanding being enlightened, being made free, being able to expand, to see what we could not see before, so that we could be what we were not before. For your glory, in Jesus' name. Galatians chapter 2. I'm going to read verses 11 through 21 from the New Living Translation, and then we're going to go into a couple of different translations on a couple of different of the verses to get the point across here. This is a story. This is Paul talking to the church in Galatia. And the whole letter to the church of the Galatians is all about dealing with legalism. Acceptance by performance. Legalism is nothing more than acceptance by performance. Acceptance by performance, which is considered the way of the world. Legalism is considered the way of the world. Those that live in darkness live by legalism. Those that live in darkness live by acceptance by performance. In other words, I must do something for you to accept me. And that is considered darkness. It is considered demonic. It is considered worldly. I must do something for you to accept me. And sadly to say, the reason Paul is writing this to the church in Galatia Because this legalism, this worldliness, this acceptance by performance, this trying to get God to accept me by what I do, had creeped into the church. The first century church. And it has been creeping and is creeping in the church still today. All through the New Testament, Paul had to address this church by church with things that were going on to help people to stay free. It's not hard to get somebody free. The challenge is to stay free. Because we ourselves choose to go back into bondage. We choose to go back into bondage. I guess I should read some scriptures here. Just a little preach coming on me. Galatians chapter 2, verse 11. So the precursor here is Paul is talking about his journey and how he established himself. And how he went back to Jerusalem and met with the apostles in Jerusalem, Peter, James, and John, the big pillars of the church at that time. And then Peter came to Antioch, where Paul was ministering, to check things out. So we're going to start with that. Verse 11, Galatians chapter 2. But when Peter came to Antioch, I had to oppose him to his face. For what he did was very wrong. When he first arrived, he ate with the Gentile Christians. Okay, Gentile Christians are Christians that were not Jews first. Remember, the first Christians were all Jews converting to Christianity. Because Christianity was only for the Jews until Paul came along. When Paul came along, the door was open unto the Gentiles, the non-Jewish people. And that was the first time. But originally, Christianity was just for Israel. Okay. When he first arrived, he ate with the Gentile Christians who were not circumcised. But afterwards, when some friends of James came, Peter wouldn't eat with the Gentiles anymore. He was afraid of criticism from these people who insisted on the necessity of circumcision. So even in the early church, in the church of Jerusalem, where Jesus was, they were still hung up on circumcision. Circumcision was an external sign of the covenant in the law of Moses. But Christ made it clear that it was a circumcision of the heart. But yet, works and legalism always creeps in. Why? Well, we'll go into a little bit further. Because this whole thing is about identity. Everything is about identity. And in the world, in darkness, outside of Christ, all identity is found in what you do. All identity is found in what you do. Whether it be a job or how you act, you identify yourself with your actions. That is the world's way. Identifying yourself with your actions. Jesus comes along and shows them, identify yourself in God. Find your identity in God through me. I am an external picture of the eternal God. And because they would struggle to find their identity in God, because they had so long lived by what they could see, touch, smell, and feel, by being sensual. Sensuality is living by your senses. And that's how they found their identity, is through their sensuality. Jesus said, okay, use your sensuality, but use it in me. Find it in your senses of who I am, because I am the representation of God in the earth. Really, it's not that you find your identity in Jesus Christ, but that you find it in God the Father. But you find it in God the Father through Jesus Christ. That's something that's tangible to us. So that was his message. And when he died, rose again, then ascended back into the heavenlies, it did not take long before the church, because now they couldn't see Jesus anymore, though they had the day of Pentecost where they are filled with the Spirit, and they found their identity in Christ through the Holy Spirit, in the Father, But after a time, they became sensual again. They started going by what they could sense and smell and taste and feel and touch and all the sensory perceptions. They were losing their ability to live by the Spirit. They had the ability, but it was fading away. And when the spiritual reality starts to fade away, you go back to your sensuality and live by the senses. And the moment you're in sensuality, you have to perform or you have to do something to find your identity. And that's exactly what was taking place. And you notice right away, Peter, the great apostle Peter, was one of these that was losing his spirituality. Peter was starting to be afraid of what others around him thought of him. He was finding his identity in what other people thought. And he was performing to keep that identity. While the other ones didn't want me sitting around Gentiles, because Gentiles are dogs. They're uncovenanted people. He was slipping back into his Judaism. He was slipping back into the old ways of darkness. He was slipping back into that acceptance by performance. And because he was slipping back into it, that's who he was becoming. And remember the four corners of the universe. It's who you are, what you think, what you say, and what you do. Because that's who he's becoming, that's how he started to think, that's how he started to speak, and therefore that's how he started to act. And that's what was going on with Peter. Verse 13, as a result, other Jewish Christians followed Peter's hypocrisy. Peter was living in hypocrisy. And even Barnabas was led astray by their hypocrisy. Even Barnabas, who was traveling with Paul, who knew better, was slipping into the hypocrisy. This is a powerful, powerful deception. It is probably one of the most powerful deceptions on the planet. I've heard leaders talk about, you know the powerful things of sexuality and everything. Listen, sexuality has nothing on this. In my opinion, this is the most powerful force out there. The force of works. The force of being accepted by our performance. I want to fit in, so I will compromise myself to fit in, and I'll justify it through deception. By believing it's okay. By believing I need to do this because I haven't got the identity to stand up for myself. We all face this. We all go through this. And thank God that Paul knew who he was, because at this point here, the church could have been lost. The whole movement could have gone awry for good. But Paul stood up against the pillars of the Jerusalem church, which was the foundation of Christianity, and said, "No, you are off track. You are going back into the world. You are going back into demonic things." Demonic things is not horns, people, and devils floating around. Demonic things are living a life of finding your identity in what you can do. That is demonic. That is darkness. That is the reason that Christ came to the earth, to set us free from ourselves. To set us free from that bondage mindset that keeps us imprisoned. That I have so little identity that I have to find some way to be accepted by somebody else. I'll do anything. Listen, the people that we work with, the people that we reach out to, people that live on the street, why do they do some of the horrible things that they do? Because they're trying to fit in somewhere. Why will some young man that joins a gang, why will he kill somebody? Because he's heartless? No. Because his identity is so broken that he will kill another man for someone else to accept him. Distressed identities. Distressed identities. even Barnabas was led astray by their hypocrisy. Verse 14, when I saw that they were not following the truth of the gospel message. What happened to Peter? Peter was no longer following the truth of the gospel message. Peter was in error and was in hypocrisy and was falling away from the truth. Boy, you don't hear this preached much, do you? When I saw, this is Paul speaking, when I saw that they, who were they? Peter and the leaders from Jerusalem. When I saw that they were not following the truth of the gospel message, I said to Peter in front of all the others, he's now confronting the error. Since you, a Jew by birth, have discarded the Jewish laws and are living like a Gentile, why are you now trying to make these Gentiles follow the Jewish traditions? You and I are Jews by birth, not sinners like the Gentiles. That's an interesting term. You and I, let's just pause and park there for a bit. This is one of the golden calves I want to hit today. This is one of the golden calves I want to hit today. Verse 15, Galatians chapter 2. You and I are Jews by birth, not sinners by birth like the Gentiles. You see, a sinner is not someone who does things wrong. A sinner is someone who does not have an identity in God. The Jews understood that, though it be external, they understood that. The word Jew means believer, or means covenanted one with God. We have a covenant with God. We have an identity with God. The Gentiles are those that do not have an identity with God. They're called sinners. A sinner is someone who has no identity in God. Their identity is in what they do, what they perform. Now, the real crazy deception is this, is that the Jews who had their identity in God had their identity in God based on the works they did. It was hypocrisy. But he's speaking their language to them. You and I are Jews by birth, not sinners like the Gentiles. Yet we know that a person, look at verse 16, we know that a person is made right with God by faith in Jesus Christ. You are made right with God by faith in Jesus Christ. Well, faith in what? Faith in His grace. There only is one faith. Faith in His grace. Faith in what He did for you on that cross. We've been made right with God by believing in the grace of God. Not by obeying the law. Not by performing to be accepted. Obeying the law, you can just highlight that and put in there, performing to be accepted. Acceptance by performance. Obeying the law is acceptance by performance. Period. I'm simplifying it for you. When I write the Mike version of the Bible and write it all out there, we'll have these things in there for you. But until then, you'll have to make little notes. We know that a person is made right with God by faith in Jesus Christ, not by obeying the law. And when we believed in Christ Jesus so that we might be made right with God because of our faith in Christ, not because we have obeyed the law, for no one will ever be made right with God by obeying the law. No one will ever be made right with God by doing things to get accepted. You'll never be made right with God by how much you pray, how much of your Bible you read, how often you go to church. Those are good things to do and they will help you, but if you think that by doing them you're made right with God, you deceive yourself. Because you're trying to be made right with God. You're like a puppy dog. Why do you think they call Gentiles dogs? Because a dog is an animal that it lives by acceptance by performance. Anyone that's had a dog knows that. The dog so badly wants you to love him and accept him that he will perform tricks for you. Sit, lay down, roll over. And the dog gladly does it. Oh, please, just love me. Just love me. Just accept me. Look what I'm doing for you. That's what a dog is. A dog is a manifestation of acceptance by performance. And we love that because we can control a dog. We can control a dog through fear and manipulation. A Jew is one who is not a dog. They have their identity, therefore, in the animal kingdom, they'd be the cat. They're not going to do something to try so that you'll accept them, because they know who they are. Oftentimes, cats are seen like to be arrogant. No, they just have their identity. And it's funny, but the lion of the tribe of Judah is a cat. Jesus Christ is called the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Jesus Christ is a cat. He's not a dog. He's a cat. Cats have identity. Dogs don't. Therefore, in the spiritual sense, the Jews are cats. Gentiles are dogs. Believers are cats. Unbelievers are dogs. People that find their identity in Christ are cats. People that find their identity in what they do are dogs in this particular metaphor. I know for some of you out there listening right now, your head is twisting sideways. Chew on this. Think about it. Read this through for yourself. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. Go back to the New American Standard if you want. It's all there. It's all there. You will never be made right with God by performing for Him. The four corners of the universe, the four foundational principles are: number one, being; number two, thinking; number three, saying; number four, doing. Everything starts with the first state, which is being. The four states of the universe. The first state is being. I am. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I am accepted in the Beloved. Because of that, I have the freedom to live it out. But I'm not trying to live it out to reach into being an I am. No, it starts with I am. It starts with identity. The Gentiles are identity-less ones. When David stood before Goliath, he says, "Who is this uncircumcised Philistine? Who is this uncovenanted one? Who is this identityless one?" You are your identity. David has his identity in God, therefore he couldn't lose. This Gentile, this Philistine, had his identity in a piece of gold. In a statue. He was identityless. Therefore, he couldn't win. Yeah. Verse 17. But suppose we seek to be made right with God through faith in Christ, and then we are found guilty because we have abandoned the law. Would that mean Christ has led us into sin? Absolutely not. Rather, I am a sinner if I rebuild the old system of law I already tore down. Believer, Christian, you came into Christianity through accepting the gift of God, His grace, and by believing in that. And now you're going to try and be accepted by what you do? You're going to try to be acceptable to God? Listen, you either are acceptable to God or you're not. The Bible says that you are. Now you can believe that, or you can try to perform to earn God's favor. But let me tell you, the Bible also says that your righteousness is like filthy rags. Your righteousness is dirty and unclean and can never be acceptable to God. That means anything you try to do to be good enough always falls short. That's why acceptance by performance is so deadly, because you will always fall short, and you'll always feel dirty, you'll always feel worthless, you'll always feel you don't measure up, because in yourself you do not. But if your identity is found in Him, you are already clean and perfect. And you live your life out discovering the fullness of what that means. But your starting point is you are already everything. You have already everything. You already are the fullness of God in Christ Jesus. Verse 19, "For when I tried to keep the law, it condemned me. When I tried to be accepted by performance, my performance was never good enough." Listen, guys, in my own life, I go back many years ago. I learned way back in the early days to have a prayer life. And my prayer life is my prayer life has done more for me than anything else. My prayer life is where my revelation comes from. My prayer life is where my identity of Christ comes through. I find it in there. But along the way, I had forgotten the simplicity that my prayer life was a tool to help me. And somewhere along the way, my prayer life became God. And because of that, I could never pray enough. I always felt guilty. Didn't matter what I did, how much I put in, I always felt I should have done more. That is acceptance by performance. That is works-oriented. That is not believing. That is being a dog. And I had to come to the realization that I am accepted by God no matter what I do or don't do. There's nothing I can do to make myself unaccepted by God. Now, it's hard on some religious theology. You cannot make yourself unacceptable to God. But the works is how we experience God's acceptance. It's how, because everything is based on our believing. If I don't exercise my believer won't function. My believer is a muscle that I must keep developing if I stay away from it for a while. Listen, it is known from a physical standpoint, you don't exercise for a week, you're out of shape. If you don't spend time with God for a week, you're out of shape spiritually. And when you need that muscle to pick something up, you can't do it. When you need to run that extra mile, you can't do it. When you need to stand by faith when the pressure's hit, you can't do it, because the muscle's not developed. So you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You need to develop your muscles so you will continue to believe what the truth is. So my prayer life is to keep me believing. Is to exercise my muscles so I believe. Believing what? Believing my identity of who I am. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I am love. I am joy. I am peace. I am hope to the hopeless. I am life. I am light in the midst of darkness. These are all things that I am, and these are all things that you are. But there's things we need to do to keep us believing that. Not to keep us in that, because you are in that no matter what, but to believe it. Because if you believe it, you will experience it, and you can experientially be that for somebody else. If you do not believe that, even though that's who you are, you'll not experience it, nor will anyone else around you. And instead of bringing light, you'll end up bringing darkness. Look at verse 19. For when I tried to keep the law, it condemned me, so I died to the law. I stopped trying to meet all its requirements. I died to acceptance by performance. I quit trying to meet its requirements. I quit trying to be a good Christian. I quit trying to be a pillar in the community. I quit trying because this trying is what's killing me. I stopped trying to meet all its requirements so that I might live for God. Ooh, look at this. I stopped all my trying so that I could live for God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So trying is a blockade that keeps you away from your relationship with God. The more you try, the further away you find yourself from God. Stop trying and be. I do not treat the grace of God as meaningless. For if keeping the law could make us right with God, then there is no need for Christ to die. If you can make yourself acceptable by what you do, then why do we have the cross? Now, if you're really shallow Christian, you'll say, so we can go to heaven. Well, if that's where you are, I'm sorry. It's time to grow up. Kindergarten is over. God's not looking for baby Christians. God's looking for mature sons. It's time to grow up. Now, if you're new into the kingdom, that's one thing. But if you've been around 10, 20 years, and you're still messing your diapers, it stinks pretty bad. It's time to grow up. It's time to grow up in your identity. Verse 23 in the book of James, chapter 1. No, actually, no, hang on a second. Before we go there, let's look at Galatians 2:20 again. I want to read it and then read it from a different translation here. 2:20 says, my old self has been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. So I live in this earthly body by trusting the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Now that Galatians 2:20 in the message says this, Christ's life showed me how and enabled me to do it. Christ's life showed me how and enabled or empowered me to do it. I identified myself completely in him. Look at that. I identified myself. I found my identity completely in him. Indeed, I have been crucified with Christ. My ego is no longer central. It is no longer important that I appear righteous before you or have your good opinion. Oh, dear God, help us to be free. Oh, right there, I just lost about 10,000 people, I think. It is no longer important that I appear righteous before you or have your good opinion. You know what? It doesn't matter what you think of me. It's what God thinks of me. But our problem is we're worried about what others think of us. And when you are worried about what others think of you and trying to fit in, you're living from your ego. My ego is no longer central. It is no longer important that I appear righteous before you or have your good opinion. And I am no longer driven to impress God. Oh, there goes the other 10,000. Oops. Learn to be honest with yourself. Have you been trying to impress God? God, look how much I prayed today. God, I memorized all these scriptures just for you. Are you happy with me? Watch, I can sit. I can roll over, God. Look. Please love me, God. Please love me. You're not a dog. You're a cat. You're a lion. The tribe of Judah. If I've made you mad, I ask your forgiveness. But I am trying to stimulate thought. And for some people, the only way they'll ever think is if somebody can push a button and make them angry or get Jack to pop out of the box. Which is not my doing, it's your doing. Because if I can push your button, that means I control you. Just another food for thought. Okay, let's continue here. I am no longer driven to impress God. Christ lives in me. The life you see me living is not mine, but it is lived by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Now let's turn over to the book of James. And I'm going to read to you a scripture that is probably very well known to most of us. James chapter 1 and verse 23 and 24. I'm going to read from the New Living Translation. For if you listen to the word and don't obey, it's like glancing at your face in the mirror. You see yourself and forget what you look like. You see yourself and forget what you look like. So it sits there, you know, if a man is a hearer of the word only and not a doer, then he's like a man that looks himself in the mirror and forgets what manner of man he was. A little more modern translation. If you listen to the word but don't obey it, if you don't do what it says, it's like looking at yourself in a mirror and walk away and forget what you look like. Message says it this way. It says, those who hear and don't act are like those who glance in the mirror, walk away, and 2 minutes later have no idea who they are and what they look like. What does that mean? You don't know who you are. You've lost your identity. So how do you keep your identity? Your identity is, you keep your identity through acting on what you learn. It's acting on what you learn that solidifies the identity. You don't act on what you learn trying to get an identity. It's to solidify. Listen, how do you get the identity? You just choose, you have it. I am accept. The Bible says that you are accepted in the Beloved. I am accepted in the Beloved. The Bible says that I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I'm not my righteousness. I am God's righteousness. Do you know that God's righteousness is perfect? Or do you think that God's righteousness is flawed? Well, if you've been a Christian for a while, you understand that God's righteousness is perfect. I am, I'm quoting from the Bible now, I am the righteousness of God. In other words, I have God's righteousness in me, in Christ Jesus, in my identity with Christ Jesus, which is a choice. I choose to believe that I am God's righteousness in you. If you want to see how righteous God is, look at me. That's what you should be saying. Look at me. I am God's righteousness in the earth, and I believe that. And now I'm going to act upon it. I'm going to press into that identity so that I may experience that which already is. So my prayer life keeps me believing that identity. My time studying scripture and reading things and meditating and chewing on things and running thoughts through my mind, all of that are tools that helps me to believe that I am God's righteousness in the earth. It solidifies my identity, because if I don't do those things, I'm going to forget who I am. And if I forget who I am, I'm going to slip back like Peter did, the Apostle Peter. I'm going to slip back into works. I'm going to slip back into doing things to get God to accept me. And remember, how we relate to God is how we relate to others. If you slip into doing things for God acceptance, you'll slip into doing things for the acceptance of people around you. But if you realize that you are one with God in Christ Jesus, and you no longer have to perform with God, you'll start to realize you're one with the people around you. And you don't have to perform for their acceptance. Now, they have the free choice to accept you or not accept you. But if your identity is found in God through Christ, it doesn't matter other things. Listen, a lot of people don't like me. I'm okay with that. A lot of people love me. I enjoy that. But listen, there's always going to be those that don't like you. Oh, well, welcome to planet Earth. Welcome to the reality. There will always be those that are against you. That's part of life. Don't focus on who's against you. Focus on who you belong to. Focus on who you are in Christ, not who you're not. See, those that don't do what they learn don't know who they are, have no identity. Your identity is maintained by living out what you learn, by processing what you learn, because that as that tent expands and you start to believe outside of your present parameters, the only way you'll continue to believe that is if you start to do what you're learning. If you don't, your tent's going to shrink back again. And you're back in the prison of your mind. So our identity is found either in what we do or it's found in Christ. There's no third choice. Well, I find my identity in being a fireman. That's what you do. I found my identity in being a parent. That's what you do. There may be good things, but they still lead to darkness. They will let you down somewhere. Your identity is found in Christ. A sinner, now hang on, this, do your seatbelts up. Hey, hang on here. I have to read this. I don't want nobody falling off their chairs. A sinner is one who finds his identity in what he does. I haven't got time to go through the scriptures and prove that to you. Dear God, you've got this stuff. Look it up yourself. We don't even know what a sinner is. We got it so mixed up through religion. A sinner is one who finds his identity in what he does. A saint is one who finds his identity in Christ. What's the difference? What's the difference between a sinner and a saint? One has their identity in what they do, and one has their identity in Christ. So there's a lot of church people today that are sinners. There's a lot of church people today that are sinners. Why? Because they find their identity in what they do. This is not a put-down. This is a wake-up call. Listen. So how do I find my identity in Christ? You choose to and start that journey. I am not standing here today from the place of absolute achievement. Do you not think there are days that I feel the pressure to try to perform to be accepted by somebody? The pressure hits me every day and will hit me every day for the rest of my life. But I am learning to not allow that pressure to overtake me. I am learning when the pressure hits to remind myself, I go back in the mirror. When the pressure hits, I go back to the mirror, like Brother James talked about. I go back to the mirror and I say, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I go back to my I am. I go back to my state and I look at myself in that mirror and I remind myself who I am. I thank God for who I am. This morning, I was just my meditation time this morning. I just had a time of thanking. I said, Father, thank you. I am your light in the earth. Thank you, Father. I am hope for the hopeless. And I'll tell you what, this might not be you, but this I'm just telling you my own experiences here. This very morning, I just had that time talking with God, thanking Him for who He made me to be, and the presence of God just filled the room, the tangible presence of God. I could feel it. It was like, wow. It's found in identity. It's not found in works. That's why people, well, I'll pray real hard so God will show up. You can pray till the cows come home. If you're praying, trying to get God to do something, you can pray till the cows come home and they ain't coming home. Pray into your identity. Your prayer is communicating, thanking God for what He's already done. Thanking God for who He is. See, God don't need the reminding, by the way. You know, God doesn't, oh, I'm not sure who I am, angels. I need my children to tell me who I am. You've got to be kidding me. That's how some of our religious thinking is. God needs to hear it. I don't need my kids to remind me I'm their dad. Oh, Dad, just want you to know today that you're our dad. If I need that, I'm in a sad state. Let me tell you. I'm in a sad state. Identity is for the ones following. My children need to know I'm their dad. I don't need to know I'm their dad. I know that. They're the ones that need the reminding. Just like in the church, it's the children of God that need the reminding that they are sons of God. We are the Son of God in the earth. We are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus in the earth. You are everything you need to be for anybody you come in contact with. All you need to do is simply believe it, be it, do it, experience it. It's all there. Now live out the rest of your life processing that so you can experience it more and someone else can get touched. Someone else's life can be changed because of who you are, not because of what you do. Choose your identity. Choose to have your identity in Christ, not in what you do. Amen. Father, thank you for this simple choice. And we make that choice today. Father, we say, I am your son. Father, we say, I am your righteousness in the earth. Father, we say, I am light in the midst of darkness. But now the darkness is gone because I am here. And you abide in me, so you are here. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, amen.